Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Lila, chapter 20. Text 89. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Brinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Hula Huli Deya Pati Vrata Gana. Text 89. Mahapreme Bhakta Sabe Kordiye Krandana. The chaste wives made auspicious sounds, and all the devotees cried in ecstatic love. Om Agana Timurandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. Same thing, same old blissful boring life, Niyama Seva. Same thing practically at the same time every day, which facilitates focus. I have to say how happy I am to see all of you, and it really confirms that kind of we need each other. Sangha, Anga means limbs, Sam means with limbs. We have to be together. And real Sangha is Machita Matkata Prana Bodhyantas Parasparam, where devotees Bodhyantas Parasparam, where we enlighten each other. Machita, giving our minds. Matkata, making it our goal. Matkata Prana. That more and more this becomes the food by which we live. Because this really nourishes the soul and helps us to fulfill the goal of life. Prema Pumartha Mahan, the greatest goal is prema. Is that full, untethered connection with God and feeling it. Therefore, Prabhupada said, when you become Krishna conscious, you become thrilled. You become thrilled at every moment. Because you're feeling, that's what prema is. It's described, what prema is described in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. That you see God everywhere. And seeing means feeling. It's just like, if you think of someone that you love and you see them, it's not just enough to see them. You have to feel them. There should be an energy between you. And that energy, rasa vai saha, with relationship to God, that intense love, feeling that and becoming absorbed in that totally is the goal of life. And therefore, we have to have a relationship with Krishna. And in our prayers, in our bhajan, because love flows in relationships, some bandha, some connection, we should always be praying for that, praying to understand our relationship with God. Because that's the vehicle where we can understand God and love God. We understand people in relationship. In relationship. And if you don't understand people in relationship, then there's no love. It just could be a partnership of some type. If you don't understand the relationship, there won't be any love. If you think the relationship and the partnership is that is my servant and I am the master, and it's a romantic or friendship thing, it won't work. You have to understand the relationship. When you understand the relationship with someone, then the love will flow. Same thing with teacher, student, guru, disciple. You understand the relationship. And that's the, you know, that's really why culture is so important, because one of the main factors of culture is to instill impressions in the consciousness where you can relate better and therefore be satisfied, because that's what satisfies the heart. We spoke about this when I talked about Krishna Lila. This is what satisfies the heart. It's relationships. It's the conduit. It's the conduit by which that energy of the soul flows to God, and the energy of God flows to the soul. And what else can be the goal of life than that? So before I start the Leela, I coined a term called co-vidya. And co-vidya means along with suffering. I'm making up this definition myself because we have pandemic. Along with suffering, co-vidya comes knowledge. So there's always some type of knowledge. So I'm going to share with you a sannyas realization I had. And first I'll tell a story. And then I'll share a sannyas realization I had. But I think sannyas realization is not just for my ashram. I think it's relevant to everyone. I was in Vrindavan. And I was staying in Burijan Prabhu's room. And you come in and there's a bed, and I was sitting on the bed, and I see some of my good friends from the Middle East are in the class today. And, you know, they have such nice culture and they always bring gifts. And they were bringing me amazing gifts, literally red pomegranates as big as my head. This fruit called sweet lemon. It's not an orange, it's not a lemon, but it's almost having a little canteen. There's nothing healthier, nothing better. And packages of expensive saffron. And even one lady, when the orange blossoms came, they dried the orange blossoms and made it into powder and made them into a very fine cookie. And then there are particular dates that they cannot export because they're so succulent. that if in a short while, if you don't eat them, they'll turn to wine. They're so sugary. So it was piled up. It was piled up on my bed. And they were all sitting around me, and it was really opulent. I mean, piled high. I mean, big things of, you can't even imagine what the fruit and the dried nuts and the things come from that country, and they're in packages, and it's beautiful. It's really piled high, because maybe out to, and one lady walked in who was becoming a devotee, and she was an actress from New York, and she was coming to see me, and she came in and she paid obeisances in my bed. Then she got up and she looked up and she said, "Some sannyasi." And I love that type of humor. But my realization is that there's some, that what, I hope I can express this. If not, you'll get it in Monday morning greetings. That's somehow what's coming out. But sannyas really means, and really means, Plato said this. They once asked Plato, "What's the essence of your philosophy?" And Plato said, practicing dying. So that's what sannyas is. Sannyas is while you're living, having the opportunity to die. And what death is, more than anything else, it's the annihilation of the false ego. And the false ego is the conception of superiority based on control and enjoyment. So the sannyas voluntarily gives those things up. Voluntarily gives those things up to crush the false ego, to give it up while you're living. So I kind of thought, you know, the pandemic, certain circumstances in my life, you know, how so many things were changing. And I thought how frightening that can be. I was in New York during when the World Trade Tower came down. I was right in Lower Manhattan. I remember walking to 2nd Avenue and watching throngs of people just walking covered in ash. And I was getting calls from people that were so fearful, really freaking out. And that fear, when our world, as we know it, as we control it, whatever limited extent that is, whatever illusion we have, when it moves against our way, it's frightening. And it will. And therefore, sannyas, the real sannyas, is to practice that. To practice that while living. So I was thinking, boy, these last 4 or 5 months, I've really got a chance to practice that. To feel the joy of shedding your attachments before they're ripped away anyway. And that's what God does. I explained that at the beginning, when he moves the world in ways against our desires. He's trying to help us come to the real self, which finds its pleasure, not in destiny, because there's no karma, but in free will. Free will is under your control. Destiny is not. So the investment of all your pleasure in destiny is a losing proposition. So this idea of when the destiny moves and that's your pleasure, you have to take shelter in your free will. And what is your free will? Your free will is your love and your service to Krishna, which is the nature of the soul. And to act and to live in that and relish that, that's what Krishna consciousness means. And if the world just moved exactly according to our way, it was stable around us for our desires, and we could move it the way we want, we'd never experience the soul. We'd become more and more disconnected from the soul and more attached to that conception of false ego, that I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. And especially, I have to say, you know, this year I will be 70 years old. So kind of that illusion of living forever is also being taken away. You have some spiritual knowledge and your body changes and you have to face it. You know that in the Mahabharata, there's that one story of Maharaj Yudhisthira in the pool of death. And I don't want to, because I want to get back to the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and he had to answer 100 questions. And if he didn't answer them all, this is the ultimate reality quiz show. If you don't answer every single question, if you miss one question, you die. The ratings would be off the charts for a show like that. And then the ultimate quiz show. And then what was the last question? What is the most wonderful thing? The most amazing thing in the world that defies all logic. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, who's Dhammaraj, thought very carefully and he said, the most wonderful thing in the world, most wonderful thing in the world is that my father's died, my father's father died, everyone has died. That's the history of the world. That's the one fact, as Prabhupada said, as sure as death. That's the one fact that cannot be denied. And everyone died, but I think that I will not die. I think I will live eternally. That's the most amazing thing. Dehapatya kalitradishu atmasanyeshvasatsvapi tesham pramata. We think. And in the Shastra, when it speaks heavily about family life, I explained this before, what it's speaking about is when you see it as the goal and your permanent situation. If you see it as the means, it's a glorious ashram. But when you see it as your permanent situation and you see it as your ultimate reality and you see it as your goal. So Krishna moves the world against our desire, especially for the mercy of the devotees who have to take shelter in the happiness of their free will, which can serve and love Krishna in any circumstance. You can only control and enjoy in very limited circumstances. Okay, now we will, my introduction, I kind of felt I had to warm up with some hell, brimstone, and fire. Now we'll get to the rasa. And we know in this Leela, the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's Bhakti Sangha. It's association of devotees, Lord Chaitanya and the association of devotees, and the various pastimes in which that manifests. Puritanaya sadunam vanashayatu duskritam. Says that God comes to annihilate the miscreants and to save the devotees. And how does he save the devotees? He comes and exhibits his lila, his pastimes, which is the template of ultimate relationship and satisfaction that we want. And he exhibits it in different ways with his various associates. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's really focusing right now in this whole chapter. And I thought it was going to end, but it doesn't. There's more pastimes with this Murari Gupta, this physician. And as we remember, Lord Chaitanya taught him a lesson. Because the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which are so wonderful, they not only open your heart with love, but they have jewels of realization and instruction that so easily can be put into the heart. So here there was an instruction about etiquette and tattva. Etiquette, how to behave. First guru. That is the means to God. We first worship the guru. That's in any of our practices. And that's the means to God. And somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya was there. He paid obeisance first. I see the list of people that are here. Most know it. Lord Chaitanya kind of chastised him. You transgressed etiquette. He had a dream. And in the dream, it was confirmed by both Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda smiling at him as Lord Chaitanya was worshiping Lord Nityananda. So that tattva was there, guru tattva, one of the truths, one of the foundational truths that we have to understand. Because if you don't have knowledge, you won't know what to do. And if you don't have discipline, you can't do it. In the Bhagavatam, it gives that incredible verse, how do you realize that tattva, that reality, that absolute truth? And explains tachradayana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashant yatmatmi chatmani bhakta shruta hitri. The seriously inquisitive sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment. If you don't have knowledge, you won't know what to do. And if you don't have discipline, you can't do it. You have to have knowledge. You have to have understanding. You have to understand the various tattvas and truths so that in various circumstances, you can perform dharma and get the fruit of dharma. You can do the right thing and you get the fruit of dharma. And what's the fruit of dharma? It's a realization that brings you closer to the soul. We have a myriad of choices to make, a myriad of circumstances that we face. And when we don't know what to do, we won't extricate the fruit of realization that those circumstances are giving us. And that's what the whole world is. God is placing us by our karma in various circumstances to elicit a particular reaction so that we can learn the lesson and really the lesson of that circumstance and the realization it's trying to give you. And that's how you advance. And we can all, young and old, look back at our lives and see all the circumstances that God has arranged for us. And how the appropriate response extracts the maximum realization that brings you closer to God. And that's what this is all about. This whole world is about coming closer to God. There's no other purpose for this world. Because that's who we are. And unless you know what you're made of and what you're made for, you won't know what to do. And if you don't act properly, you won't extract the beauty of your nature. It's finding ourselves. It's uncovering the self. So that lesson was there. And so Murari understood that lesson and because he, interesting, because he understood the lesson of Guru, then Lord Chaitanya immediately gave him tattva. He immediately gave him an understanding. He told that story about Prakasananda Saraswati and that moral was that the Supreme Lord is eternal. It's not a temporary manifestation of this world. And the servants of God, there's three things. There's God, the devotee, and our service to them. And they're all eternal. And that's the basic fact of Krishna consciousness. And he understood it. And then Murari went home. I think I'm giving too long an introduction, but somehow I will get to the point today. This is anyway what I do, but it's hard sometimes to judge. But anyway, Murari went home and we had that interesting example where his wife cooked for him this beautiful rice and he started throwing it on the floor saying, eat it, eat it, eat it. The wife couldn't figure out what he was doing. And then Lord Chaitanya comes back and the next day, because he's a doctor, and says, you know, I have indigestion, but you're the doctor and you caused it. Because I ate too much rice that you offered me. And what's the cure for indigestion? This is actually a fact. It's taking water. And he drank from his water pot, honoring Murari Gupta. And the family was in ecstasy. And and it doesn't, then it goes on. And then there was a pastime where they're glorifying right now, where within the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya is Swayam Bhagavan. It's the full manifestation of God. Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are the full manifestation of God. And within the Supreme Lord, all the incarnations are there. So he manifests as Narayan, as Vishnu. And Murari is just the ultimate servant. So in every circumstance, he wants to serve. So who's the servant of Narayan? The servant of Narayan is Garuda. And Garuda is the bird that is the carrier of, what a service to be the carrier of God. Actually, it's such a good service to be the driver that Krishna becomes the driver of his devotee in the Bhagavad Gita. He's the driver. So what a service to become the driver. What a service. So it's a wild story, but Murari says his desire for service is so much that he manifests that mood. I am Garuda. I am Garuda. And Lord Chaitanya gets on his back and they're running around the courtyard. And the devotees are seeing this pastime. But again, here is the important point. When we hear of these things, we may look at the external manifestation of them. And either we'll see them as ordinary and miss the internal manifestation of love, or we'll see them as supraordinary and ludicrous or impossible. But from the standpoint of devotion, of the ultimate reality, what's happening here, it's God and his devotee in this ecstatic exchange. And God manifests himself according to the desire of the devotee to serve. That's why Krishna has different ages. Krishna appears as Kumar, he's 1 to 5. Why? Because there are devotees that want to serve him as a parent. And Krishna manifests, his body changes. He's between 6 and 10, Poganda. Why? Because there are devotees who want to serve him as a friend. And then Krishna manifests as Kishore, 11 to 15. Why? Because there are devotees that want to serve him in their bhava, in the romantic relationship. So Murari Gupta is Hanuman. He is the ultimate servant. He wants to serve God as his master. And he's completely in that bhava, which I'll tell you one story now too, which I think is relevant here. But getting that, there's this exchange of love. And devotees who have that love, they're in ecstasy seeing this because they're seeing the love. And this is the external form is manifest in this exchange. But they're seeing that this Murari Gupta, who is so dedicated to Lord Chaitanya and whose eternal form is actually in Ram Leela as Hanuman, has such a mood of service that he sees when you have a relationship with God, you see, when you have a relationship with God, I hope I'm not getting too esoteric here for the audience, but when you have a relationship with God, you see, always see God through that relationship. For example, if someone is a Krishna Bhakta and he sees the deities of Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman, he doesn't think, here is the king. He thinks, oh, my Krishna is playing the role of a king. It's just like if a child, a son or daughter of a loving mother plays in a drama, she'll see, oh, my son or daughter is playing that role. So they'll see that intimate love. They'll see that intimate love. Anyway, this is what's going on with Murari Gupta as Hanuman, as the servant, and the devotees are seeing it, and they're in such ecstasy when they view this. And then it said, his chaste wives are they made auspicious sounds, which people from Bengal do with the tongue. It's kind of, I don't know what you call it, but they can move the tongue and make this auspicious sound. And so all the ladies are doing this. And they cried in ecstatic love. And if you look in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you look in the Bhagavatam, you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, these words invoke so much spirit of devotion. Maha Prem. They were doing this with the greatest love. And then different people in the courtyard that are watching this, just some are going, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, or Vishwambar ki jai. And others are going, Hari, Hari. And the different devotees, and one devotee just looks at this beautiful scene of Lord Chaitanya actually manifests four arms. And he's riding on the back of Garuda in the form of this Murari Gupta, the physician. And he says that, may I never forget this form. May I never forget what I see. And why doesn't he want to forget it? Because it's inspiring so much devotion and love within him. And devotees, this is so glorious. And then someone raises hand and goes, Jai Jai Murari Vaha Vishwambar, glorious Murari, glorious to Vishwambar. And then it describes Lord Chaitanya, this is the form, he's swaying on the back of Murari, who's happily wandering through the house. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, these pastimes of Gaurachandra took place in Navadvip, but sinful persons were unable to see them. Perception of personality is always a result of the relationship you have with someone. We can't make this point enough. You see someone according to your relationship with them. And if you don't have love, you can't see someone. Because love, you reveal yourself to someone in love. Someone may be a friend, but that aspect of that person will never be seen unless someone acts as a friend and they accept them as a friend. And a person has a mood as a child. I was with this, I have very good friends, a beautiful family in Delhi. Well, I don't know, the last 25 years, very close friends of mine. It's a long story, but when I went to Africa once preaching, there were an Indian family, I became friends with them, and they were very exalted devotees, and it was four brothers living together. And the youngest brother, even though he was at 50, his service was just to take care of the mother. That's all he said. The other brothers were working in different things just to take care of his mother. So he was a child to his mother. He wasn't a child to his wife. He wasn't a child to his brothers. He was a child to his mother. That aspect of him manifest in love. So most of our personality is reserved. The external is very little of who we are. And the external, at best, can understand by the process of analysis. The internal can only be understood by love. That's why you can only really understand God fully in love. And with jnana, with analysis and renunciation, at best, you can understand something of God's position, but you can't understand something of his personality. And as we know in the world, a person's position is very little of their personality. What to speak if you're inimical to someone? How much of them do you, how much of you will they see? So God is manifesting these pastimes there to the devotees. And those who are not, and those who are sinful, and those who are envious, they could not see this. And that's what he's saying here. One cannot attain Krishna by wealth, high birth, or fame, for Lord Chaitanya is only controlled by devotional service. This was another theme that was mentioned. I just want to Right. After Lord Chaitanya exhibited such intimacy with Murari, he drank his water pot, he ate his rice just by the will of Murari. Then the point was made that the fruit of devotional service can only be understood by the mercy of a Vaishnava, not by wealth, not by learning, not by any material power. How do you get the mercy of the Vaishnava? That's by your relationship with the Vaishnava. You can't earn it, but you can attract it. That's the nature of mercy. Mercy is a form of relationship. So even though you can never earn it, you can never deserve it, you can attract mercy by your humility and devotion. Look at your own life. If you're anything of a person, you are moved by love. And you're very unfortunate if you're not inspired to give yourself to someone. And if you're inspired to give yourself to someone, that person will reciprocate. Or that or you're reciprocating with that person by their personality, by their need. They attract your mercy. This is one of the most important points in devotional service, even to analyze practically. What attracts your mercy? What makes you want to give yourself to someone else? Analyze those qualities and apply that in relationship to Guru and Krishna. And this is the process of bhakti. You only get it by devotional service, the fruits, by the mercy of a Vaishnava. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said something very profound. He said, don't try to see Krishna, but act in a way that Krishna wants to see you. And we have to have this kind of self-introspection. And basically, it's love. And love means giving up the ego, giving up the selfishness in our hearts. That person who is serving, the person who has the open heart for bhakti, is the person that's attractive. Attractive to Guru, attractive to others, attractive to God. The person who's Pradyumna Prabhu, who is Prabhupada's Sanskrit Pandit, very good friend of mine and such a great scholar. And he gave me that simple definition of bhakti. Bhakti means to make yourself available. Wow. You have to be selfless to make yourself available. That internal prayer, it's so difficult. Anyone can do it. You can do it right now. But it's so difficult to go into your heart and say, from this day today, Krishna, I am yours. Oh, really? Can you do this? Well, no. Can you? What about this? Well, I. But that person who moves in that direction, who actually opens his heart to God in bhakti and moves in that direction, that movement in that direction to the will of God is called bhava. That's bhava. That's the goal. Because unless you move in that direction, there's no feeling in the heart. And that's the goal, to have that feeling in the heart. So one cannot attain Krishna by wealth, high birth, or fame. For Lord Chaitanya is controlled only by devotional service. The servants of those who worship the Lord birth after birth are now able to joyfully see these pastimes. So who's actually there in that courtyard where Lord Chaitanya is exchanging with his devotee? He's in the mood of Narayan. He's manifest four hands. And Murari, Hanuman, the exemplar, there's nine practices of devotional service. The exemplar for dasyam, the mood of a servant, is Hanuman. So that's his bhava. And therefore he sees, oh my God, my Lord Ram is now in the form of God as Narayan. and he needs a carrier. And his carrier is Garuda, and I take that form. And he's swaying, and Lord Chaitanya, and they're running around the courtyard, and the devotees are just in ecstasy because they see what is happening. They see that there's such an exchange. They can see that energy of love. And seeing that energy of love, they can aspire for that energy of love. And aspiring for that energy of love enters into their house, hearts. Those who saw such pastimes mercifully describe them to others, yet the hearts of sinful people do not accept them. So those people in the courtyard that had that revelation, they shared it. And as it's the courtyard of Srivas Thakur, and Vrindavan Das Thakur's mother was the niece, I believe, or the sister-in-law, I can't remember. They enjoyed that. It was passed down to him, and now he's relating to it in faith. In faith. In this Madhya Kanda, the Lord climbs on the back of Murari, yet Murari is a leading servant in all the Lord's incarnations. That's his bhava. The bhava, the servant, his hands are folded like this. There's something called anubhav. Anubhav means you put your body where you, it means out of your bhava or love, there are certain actions of love that enhance the love. And in different relationships with Krishna, there are different actions. So the mood of a servant is he folds his hands and clasps them before his heart. And that's announcing to the person before you. Once you put your hands like this, it's announcing to the person before you that these hands that have been used selfishly are now for God and others. And it's not only announcing that, one puts his consciousness there and one feels it. And that's the mood of Hanuman. And that's the mood of Murari. I'm for others completely. And one of the ecstasies of a servant, it's mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's waiting for the order. That's an ecstasy. He's waiting for the order. That's a mood. We can imagine in our minds that we're serving Prabhupada. He's in his rooms in Radha Damodar, and we're sitting outside on that veranda waiting for the order and willing to carry it out. And I have to say, Prabhupada really instilled that in the hearts of his disciples. They were just waiting. And it didn't matter. I know I was in Vrindavan. I had one service, but I can honestly say I thought one day, and I'll say that, if Prabhupada said to me, go to Mecca and establish Gaur Nitai, I would be on the next plane. Because we were in the mood of servant. Even the Sanskrit name for gopi, because all services are ultimately Dasya Bhav. Every relationship with Krishna is servant. The term for gopi, one term for gopi is Kinkari. It's a beautiful, sweet name, Kinkari. King means what? Kari, do. What is a gopi? What you want, I will do. Outside of that, what is the meaning to love? The whole process of bhakti is stepping out of our selfishness. Stepping outside of our selfishness. When we find that we have shelter that represents the truth. it's a challenge. Actually, in initiation, it's a pancha samskara. There's five different impressions, and the first one is tapa. And tapa means regret. And what's the regret? When you commit to service to God, what's the regret? The life I've lived in false ego. The life I lived in ego and control. The life I lived independently of the truth and the service and will of the divine. That regret is the first part of spiritual life. And I have to say, at the age of 70, I'm looking back. At the age of 70, I'm looking back with regrets, of that consciousness, even after I became a devotee, even after I took sannyas. But I think that's the impetus to go further in Krishna consciousness. So, okay. Although the Vedas describe the Lord's appearance and disappearance, there's actually no end to his pastimes. I was just reading that this morning. I was hearing Prabhupada tape. Said as soon as Krishna appears in one universe, then he appears in another universe. So it's eternal. He's always appearing. Every one of his activities is happening. And then he described, if you achieve perfection in this life, then you go to Bhoma Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan, Krishna's planet. He said, well, you get trained up. And then you can go to Goloka. On regaining external consciousness, the most sober Gauranga got down from Murari's back, and Murari's mood as Garuda disappeared. So he goes in and out of this consciousness, I'm God, and then wakes up, I'm his humble devotee. Ordinary people cannot understand these most confidential topics of Mahaprabhu climbing on the back of Murari. On seeing the Lord's mercy on Murari, all the Vaishnavas praised him as being so glorious. He took the opportunity for service. He had that availability in his heart, and Krishna saw it and immediately inspired him to serve. Murari Gupta was the most glorious devotee. His devotional service to the Lord was fruitful, for he had the ability to carry Vishwambar in his pastimes. Such are the auspicious topics regarding Murari Gupta. There are many, many more topics yet to be described. So we're just churning some understanding of one devotee. So if anyone would like to share anything now, some reflection.
Hi, Krishna, it's Mukunda.
Yeah, Mukunda, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a reflection about when you always make the point, you've made it many times about Pradyumna's definition of bhakti, to make yourself available. And I just, in my own life, have realized, especially when living in the ashram, that, you know, the most joyful times in the ashram and the most times that I felt myself making advancement in spiritual life was when I made myself available. So I just always really like to hear that point.
Well, we can still make ourselves available, and we can see what Krishna does, even though sometimes circumstances don't look as favorable. Thank you, Mukunda.
Sure.
Anybody else?
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else? Can't hear
Hare
you.
Krishna Maharaj. It's Bhakti Devi. Can
yeah.
you hear me?
I can.
Hi. Hare Bol. You know, when you were talking about regrets, you know, and, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that as well. And really what a waste of time it all was. And yeah. And so I thank you for making me feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah.
It's a time to go deeper. Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, whether it's now or, you know, the regrets go since time immemorial. So now it's time to embrace the spiritual platform. Thank you, Bhakti Devi.
Thank you.
Good. Namasaki. Haribo.
Haribo. Thank you for the beautiful, wonderful class, as always. Two things really strikes me. One, what you said about the regret. And the other thing, I mean, if I want to say everything, I have to read from maybe 10 pages. I wrote down all the notes. But don't try to see Krishna and act the way that Krishna wants to see you.
That's that powerful, was beautiful. From Bhakti Siddhanta. Yes, thank
yeah.
you.
And the other thing that one of the mood of service is waiting to get the order and carry on. That was really wonderful. That is always I want to do. I'm always waiting for you to give me an order to service, to well, do some service.
Your desire will have to be so strong that major things will have to change in your region. But
thank you, Mother. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to share something? Or just say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you, Shori. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo. There were two, well, there are more than two things that struck me, but two things that I wanted to mention is when you started out by saying that if everything always goes our way, then we'll never experience the soul. Sort of in that. And the other was just that if you think about what makes you want to give yourself to others and then apply that to Guru and Krishna.
Thank you. Thanks for remembering that, Jai Kishori. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Shradanjali Dasi.
Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo. I actually wrote it down about the, you need to have knowledge in order to, you know, understand and it helps you execute it in a more excellent way.
Yeah, without knowledge, you just don't know what to do. Yeah.
We don't know what to do. And I wrote it down, and I thought, wow, that really applies to my Krishna consciousness. You know, I want to keep learning. I want to keep reading. You know, there's so many more books to read. And but I also thought, I wrote it down also for my class in at the university, because it applies there too. So I was thinking both in the spiritual and in my academic life, but thank you very much. I really appreciated that point.
Right. And knowing what to do is not all that, it doesn't necessarily mean every single detail that you have to walk in the temple and become completely frozen because you're afraid you'll turn the wrong way. It really means the foundations. Really means to know the foundations. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm so grateful for the class. It's beautiful. And I'm looking forward to COVIDia being part of the dictionary. That's a really good one. Or maybe even I'm sure that Jamuna Jaya will make a button.
She will. Okay, thank you, Tiffany. Anybody else?
Maharaj, I really liked the idea of sitting on the veranda at Radha Damodar Temple waiting for Prabhupada to ring the bell. I love that. That really hit me.
I could also tell that. I know what other points you like too. Being the driver.
Oh, yes. I was actually thinking about the time I had got to pick you and Tamal Krishna Maharaj up at the Brooklyn Temple and drive you to Gita Nagari many, many years ago. It was
the most comfortable ride I ever had in that Lincoln Continental, as opposed to my 1998 Toyota Corolla. That was great. That was great. And that was bringing Tamal Krishna Maharaj back to Gita Nagari after like 20 years to see Radha Damodar. And it was a really beautiful time there. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Henry. Good. Good. So many Leelas, right, Henry? So many Leelas. Do you have any of, oh my God, how can I feel? What's the name of that painter?
OBG Sharma.
No. You don't. It's all on. Is it all in exhibition, or you keep some?
Oh, I give them. They're at home now. You know, they're not on exhibition now. They're at home.
Okay. Wow.
So come over and look at them, please. Come
well,
over.
Maybe next week you can show me that one of the gopis trying to stop Krishna from leaving Vrindavan.
Oh yes, that's the best one. Yes.
That was. Yeah, I'd love to see that one. Okay. Thanks, Henry. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. This is
Takarani. Hi, Bo. Hare, thank you. Good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, you have one more minute.
Brahmatirtha. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo. Good to see you.
Thank you very much. I mean, I really like hearing just the eternal nature. I can never hear enough about Murari and the nature of just the mentality of being a servant under any and all leelas and circumstances. It's very inspiring.
Isn't it?
It is. I get inspired by that.
It's the essence.
It is the essence.
Thank you.
Okay. Right.
Thanks. Okay. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Sri Radhika.
Oh, hi, Bo. Good. Great to see both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for the nice class, Mark.
Thank you. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Wow. This is the way mother and daughter should be. United in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Religious Samaraj.
Hey, Raghunath.
Maharaj, this is a very important point. We often concentrate on anarth nivritti. But we often forget about arth vritti. Means we often forget about what we have achieved in Krishna consciousness. How many anarthas we got rid of them, you know? So much of kama, krodha, lobha we had in our heart. How we are getting gradually rid of them. So we often think about how much these qualities we have, but we don't consciously have acquired Krishna consciousness.
I love that point.
Enthusiasm is very important in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so enthusiasm is very important in Krishna consciousness, and enthusiasm actually comes from concentrating on the positive sides of the life. So this is a very important point you made, Maharaj.
Wow. I'm going to repeat that point. He said that we always think anartha nivritti, all the bad things we have. We never think of the bad things we gave up. And he said, if we concentrate on the bad things we gave up, then we'll gain enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. If we only meditate on all the bad things still left in our heart, then we do that, but not just that. Thank you, Raghunath. That's such a good point. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Wonderful. Good. Anybody else? I love that point. That's a wonderful. I love hearing something new. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Lal Govinda.
Hi, Bo. Good to see you both. Good.
Thank you for a great class.
Thank you.
Nice to see both of you. Great. You got such good reception.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Hema Gauri, great to see you. Wow.
Thank you so much. Thank you for wonderful class.
Okay. Wow, this is great. I feel now I'm finally in your house.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hare Bo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Don Kaley.
Hey.
Thank you for class. I like what you said at the beginning, that a devotee is thrilled at every moment. It's an exciting proposition.
That comes from Prabhupada.
Okay, very nice.
Okay, you look like you're chilling out on your porch or something.
Yeah, I'm outside.
Okay.
In fresh air, yeah.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey.
Gloria.
you're increasing my separation for your country. I hope they let foreigners in sometime in the next few months. I'm on the first plane if that happens. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. Hi, Krishna.
It's so great. It's so great that Krishna will not let you out of Mayapur.
Oh, yes. We are trying very hard. We still have to wait. But I want to mention that I like the point that you said that fruit of bhakti can only be understood by the mercy of the Vaishnava. And this is actually so special about Krishna consciousness. So, very different from Buddhists. Like in China, there are so many Buddhists. They emphasize a lot about self-realization, self-enlightenment, like meditation. But that's something missing. And this is very special about bhakti.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And it's so nice. You and Bhattacharan are setting the example. It used to be you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. You can't buy a ticket out.
Yeah. So fortunate to be here in my office.
Wow. You deserve the rest.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Malati. Hi, Bo. Thank you. Hi, Bo. Good to see you. It's
Thank
nice
you
when
class.
People see all the community. Anybody else?
Yeah, Maharaj, I was, you got my attention when you kind of nuanced something that you often say that, you know, you need to know a person, you need to, you know somebody through relationship.
Yeah.
But you have to relate to the person according to your specific relationship. It's not just like any old love, but
right.
Love of your specific relationship. That is the way by which you know the person.
Gail, so, you can see me?
Yes.
Okay, someone gave me a gift that only you will understand, okay?
Okay. Oh, where's my husband when I need him?
Okay, someone gave me that gift.
So, oh, nice.
I'll tell you more about it when I see you, but...
Okay.
Actually, Gail, we'll surprise your husband and we'll give it as a gift to him, okay?
That would make him cry.
But don't say anything. And I'll also give him all the jokes along with it.
Oh, wow, Maharaj.
Okay.
He'll feel like he went back to Godhead.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
And Kishori Radha.
Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo.
And Tota Gopinath. Wow, that's great. Wow. I hope we can make Puri this year, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, us too.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Kali Chanji Das.
Oh, hey, Bo. Hi. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharvika.
Sri Gandharvika, thank you. So nice. I also, for everyone on there, I give class at 11, which is in 2 hours. I'm pretty excited. We're going to talk today about the saintly trees of Vrindavan. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajaradhe.
Brajaradhe, Hare Bo.
Thanks.
Not that far away. Sometime we've got to make it over there now that things are calming down. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, anybody else? Sri Rupa, Hare Bo. Good. Anybody else? Okay, then I'll see you all or some of you at some time a little bit later. Okay.